Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to an emergency podcast episode here, Gamertag Radio episode 1068. Originally, we were going to release this on Wednesday, but a lot of things has been happening the past couple hours now. Joining me for this episode, we have Paris here, man.
Hey, what's going on, man? This is a hilarious podcast we're about to do after what we just did with Jeff. This is too funny, man.
And for those who are listening, my name is Danny. And I just want to say, wow, what a crazy, crazy couple hours. So let me explain what happened. So yesterday, around 3 o'clock or so, we recorded an interview with Jeff Grubb from VentureBeat. We talked a lot about prices for Xbox, for PlayStation, even a little bit about Nintendo, what type of games are going to come out. Great conversation. It was like a good, 30-something minutes, right, Paris? Something like that? So I was like, posted a tweet. We're gonna put this up on Wednesday. Stay tuned. So last night, I was busy doing my own thing, and I'm getting calls, I'm getting texts, tweets, and I'm ignoring my phone. Then I call Paris, and Paris goes, have you seen Twitter lately? I go, no. He goes, Xbox Series S officially got leaked, price and everything. So I looked online, saw the price. We're going to talk about this in a few minutes. Then a couple hours later, more images, more videos coming out. Then Windows Central talked about Xbox Series X, Series S, the prices and the dates and a couple other things. I was like, I couldn't even sleep last night, Paris. Then a couple hours after that, Paris, an official trailer came out, too. I'm like, okay, I can't sleep. What's going on, man? So I finally got to sleep early this morning, like around 7 a.m. So I don't know about you, but wow. Lots of crazy news, man, that got leaked last night. So last night, I did some investigation. This was not a planned leak. Because I know a lot of people have been saying this online that, man, this was all set up. Xbox,
we know it's not a planned leak. Yes, it wasn't a planned leak.
Yeah, but a lot of people think it was. I'm like, no, it's not, man. It's not. This was somebody completely messed up or something happened behind the scenes that it just got out, you know? But just want to say that real quick. So, Paris, your thoughts about your reaction, everything, because I know this is an emergency podcast. We'll go from there.
Well, first and foremost, leaks suck. And this was not a mistake. This wasn't an accident. Someone maliciously undercut whatever Xbox plans were for their reveal. So that stinks. That sucks. And I put it on Twitter, and I mean it when I said it. Whoever did this should update their resume, because if they're ever found out, I mean, they should lose their job in the position that they're in. That's just 100%, because you're putting other people's livelihoods at risk. There's a lot of planning. It has literally been a marketing team's job to prepare for this reveal, right? And then you just ruined it over a holiday in the middle of the night, and you got people scrambling, trying to, all right, Xbox had to come out and confirm it. You know, people we know obviously work on a social media team up in the middle of the night, posting stuff and all that. It sucks. It sucks because clearly they had a plan they wanted to do. The fact that that one Series S video is out there, I mean, it literally is showing whatever sizzle reel they were going to have during their reveal is out there now. None of this was planned. So that absolutely sucks. Now, with all that said, yes, now that we know Xbox has confirmed at least the S and the price for the S, this is good. This is good. I've been very skeptical of Lockhart for years at this point, right? You know, we've gone back and forth on it. You know, I was really against it at one point. I started to come around on it because I started to see what Xbox was doing. And this pretty much confirms it at this point, that we are getting a 1440p Series X for all intents and purposes, right? This S will do everything that the X is doing, but at 1440p. So if you don't care about 4K and you play at 1080p or 1440p, you're still going to be able to have the high frames. You're still going to get ray tracing. You're going to get the fast load times from the SSD. It will do some 4K upscaling, it said. So obviously we'll get more information on that when the proper reveal comes out. But at that price point, which, you know, we've speculated for a while, it makes sense. It's good. This is a good option. And like we've said, as long as they properly message it to the consumer base, honestly, mm-hmm. this will outsell the Series X this holiday.
Oh yeah, for sure, because
of the cheaper price. It does everything that gamers care that it want to do. The only gotcha with this is that it's a 512 gigabyte SSD drive in there, not a terabyte. So yeah, you're not going to be able to put a bunch of games on there. Obviously, you'll be able to upgrade it, I would assume. But what does that look like? What is the cost associated with that? But as just a entry point into quote unquote next gen gaming for $299, I think this is a great value. Yeah, it doesn't have the disc drive; it's all digital. I get it, but clearly they're pushing Game Pass. They want you to invest into that, anyways. I get all my games digital now, anyways. So not having a disc isn't really a big deal to me personally. I know it will be to some people, but I think this is a good price. I think the feature set on it looks good. Again, it's doing exactly what the Series X is doing, just not at 4K. And I think it looks like a really good value for sure.
A couple things. So this is the same price as the Nintendo Switch.
Yes.
Think about that, right? The Nintendo Switch, you get less of space on that device, and people are very happy with the device. So I personally think, Paris, yes, to us, it's very low. But I think, like you said, as an entry point, just to getting into the Xbox ecosystem, Game Pass, and play all the games, I think it's going to be fine. If you want to upgrade, it's optional. It's not something that you really need to do. You know, so same thing with the Nintendo Switch, right? Another thing is, this console also costs $249 at the UK. So I'm reading the tweets from everybody from the UK, and they're like, my God, this is cheap. And this is coming from the official Xbox account, UK, posted that actually in the middle of the night, last night. So also another thing that I need to mention, which is this is a very important move from Xbox, because yes, $299 is cheap, and the rumor that Xbox Series X is $499, but there is a financing option that you could do. Get Xbox All Access, you'll get Xbox Series S for $299 at retail, but you could pay $25 per month and you get Xbox Game Pass Ultimate and all included in there. Also Project S Cloud, all that, right? Also, for this Xbox Series X, which rumored, is not still confirmed from Xbox, $499, this one you could pay $35 a month, and you'll get also Xbox All Access, the same exact thing as the other option, Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, Project S Cloud, etc. So from that, Paris, I think either way, this is a win-win, man, for gamers, because it's cheap. You have also a cheaper option because everybody's been doing it with phones, pay monthly, and you get all this, man. Now, the question that I have for you, yes, you get Xbox Series S for $299, but do you think we will see Xbox Game Pass Ultimate included in there for maybe a month, maybe 3 months in there, or what?
I've said that for a while. I think both of them, the X and the S, at a minimum should give you 3 months of Game Pass in the box, because it's just a nice entry point. Like it's the new pack-in game, right? It replaces that. It allows you to get 3 months to play whatever is on Game Pass, decide if it's something you want to invest in long term. It's a smart marketing tool for them. So I'm not going to say I'll be disappointed if it's not there, but it just makes sense if it would be, you know? Yeah. I, like I said, I think even more than a month, I think it really should be like 3 months of it, but we'll see on that. It's obviously all this is speculation. We don't know, because the only thing that's been confirmed is that yes, the S exists. Yes, it's $299. Everything else is still rumor as far as the launch date on November 10th, the price of the Series X and the rest. But this is a good value. Again, let's just assume that the Series X is $500. I think for what the Series X is going to be able to do at 4K, that is a good value for that price. The Series X is clearly worth more than $500, so they're definitely taking a loss there. Even if you look at what the S is doing at $299, that is worth more than $300 as well, being a 1440p device that is going to, as an example, and this is where now I understand why they're getting away from the One X, because as an example, let's just take Destiny 2. Destiny 2, even on the Series S, is going to get the next gen upgrade. So even on the Series S, I'm going to be able to play Destiny 2 at 1440p and 60 frames, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Even when Halo Infinite comes out, it's at 1440p, but I'm getting ray tracing. So you're getting next gen features even on the S that you will get on the X. So I'm getting it now. I'm understanding why they did what they did, why they're retiring the One X, because this is the One X replacement. The Series S is the One X replacement for all intents and purposes, right? But it's mm-hmm. able to do everything that the Series X can do as well. And it's at an affordable price to allow people to get into next-gen gaming. So trust me, I totally get it now. Like I said, I was a huge skeptic of it, but it's making sense the closer we now get to launch why they made the decision that they made, and they didn't overprice it. That's the biggest thing. They made it affordable for the average consumer gamer. So again, I always take my wife as an example. If my wife walks into Best Buy and she sees a Series X at $500, she's going to go, hell no. But she sees a Series S at $300, that's more affordable to her. Most consumers are going to look for the cheapest option. So to have this cheaper option, this is why I say it's going to outsell the Series X this holiday for sure. And obviously we'll see what PlayStation does when they announce theirs.
Now, if you think about it, Paris, I have a feeling, and I was thinking about this all night. So if people start doing this financing thing, right, and get the consoles for either $299 or $499 to pay the very cheap price, after the 2 years, I could see a new version of these consoles again, like same thing as the phones. I can see that happening, man, of Microsoft releasing more devices in the future, upgraded or whatever, maybe at a cheaper price or something like that. You know, I can see that definitely happening after the 2 years of being part of this Xbox All Access, you know? So now I was reading on Twitter to see the reaction from people. It has been very, very positive. There's even people that are thinking about buying the PlayStation 5 and also the Series S.
Yeah, why not?
I think that's really cool to see. I feel like this, out of all the time this year, I know this is it's not an official, you know, announcement from Xbox how they had planned. This was a leak. But this is the first time that I feel like this was like a win for Microsoft, in my opinion, with this. Don't you think? The first time from all this year, every time there's like a press conference, like a digital event, there was always something off. And this is like the first time that I feel that they're doing something that is a win for them. Because I think that was one of the conversations I had with Ryan McCaffrey from IGN, that he wanted to see that from them, you know, and I think this is the first time.
Well, yeah. I mean, they clearly learned to not make the same mistake that they made in 2013 and mm-hmm. and overprice the console for what it is. Like I said, both feel like a fair price. $500 and $300 feels like a fair price for what both boxes are going to be able to do, right? So I think from that standpoint, it is consumer friendly. You have this subscription service that you're able to put in there now with Game Pass. You have this financing option to make it even more accessible to everyone to be able to get in to these devices. Like you just mentioned, and I think, because I think most people are just normal and just love to gaming, so they don't buy into this whole console war crap. Yeah. So the fact that you're already seeing people saying, hey, I could go get a PlayStation 5. Again, we're just pretending at this point. Let's just say a PlayStation 5 is $500 as well. I can go get a PlayStation 5 for $500. Oh, wow. I could go get a Series S for $300. And now I have both. I can enjoy the benefits of both for what is combined a reasonable price point. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
this is what it's all about. I mean, look, obviously Xbox is trying to make their money. PlayStation is going to try and make their money. Nintendo is going to try and do their things. But as gamers, we just want access to everything. So to have an option from one of them that is a value proposition that's going to give you everything that you would want out of the game, except maybe the resolution isn't as high. And even that, they're potentially going to upscale it. Why not? Mm-hmm. Why not? I'll say it again because I'm trying to talk this into existence. I want to get Jason Ronald on this podcast because I'm so fascinated to talk about the X and the S and the philosophy and why they made the decisions that they made at a hardware level, you know, for the next generation. Because like I said, now it's starting to make more sense. It well, look, we've joked about it forever, but it's true. It's choice. Choose whatever the hell you want. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. You get it S if 4K isn't that big of a deal to you. And we know even as a PC gamer, a lot of people would rather just play at 1440p. So why not have that option on console as well? Now you have the choice and it's cheap as hell to be able to do it. But if you want to be someone like me who just wants to have the biggest and the best of everything that the technology can offer, that's what the Series X is for. And you can go do that too. So, and even that at 500, at the enthusiast level, 500 is an affordable price as well. Dude, look, we can sit here and complain about, oh, there ain't enough games at launch and all that, but the hardware itself, what these consoles are going to be able to do going into this next generation of gaming, honestly, both companies have learned from their mistakes of 2013, because that's why you saw a 1X and a PS4 Pro halfway through, because they're what they should have been in 2013. And I think both of them got it right now, because you're going to have high frames per second, like 60 frames per second is about to become the standard, right? Even some games are going to do 120 frames per second, right? Ray tracing is going to become pretty much a standard on console. So the fast load times with the SSD, we talked about that last week with the NVIDIA stuff. But when you combine all this together, gaming's about to take a leap. We're about to take a leap with gaming. We're about to start seeing some stuff that we've never seen before from gaming. Maybe not this holiday, but by next holiday, absolutely, you're going to truly start to see games take advantage of this technology. And it's exciting, man. And it's affordable. That's the biggest thing out of all of this. You know, like I said, I was getting a bad feeling about the price, but it's clear at least Microsoft realizes they can't overprice this stuff. They made it affordable on both the high end and the low end. And, you know, you get to choose what you want to do. So it's great. We all win, I think.
Mm-hmm. And here's a tweet from Marty. You know Marty from Xbox? He's the global product marketing for Xbox. Do you know who he is?
No, I do not.
Okay, well, he wrote this. He tweeted this, actually. He goes, if you think announcing a next-gen console in the middle of the night due to leaks is wild, just imagine what else we have cooking. And he put an emoji with a wink. So they have other stuff planned.
Yeah. Yeah. Edinburgh, Jez over at Windows Central, because he's known about a lot of this stuff. Clearly, he's had inside sources, but he's been respectful and not been leaking them. Wink, wink. But he has been hinting at a third SKU called Edinburgh. What is that? We don't know. Is it a all digital Series X for even cheaper price? Is it a quote unquote Project X Cloud bot? Who knows? We don't know. We have no idea what it is. So that's going to be interesting to see as well what that is. I'll say this, because again, we're in complete speculation mode. And I also have breaking news as well. I'll jump in that in a second. But we're in complete speculation mode, so don't take any of this serious. If there was a all digital Series X, and let's just say that one was $450, sign me up. I'd honestly would rather just have that. I don't need the disc. So I would love to see an all digital Series X to match what they're doing with the S. But who knows? Again, that's pure speculation. Now, breaking news.
Okay.
Wario64 on Twitter, who is very reputable. So when he says something, believe it. PlayStation 5 pre-orders start Thursday, September 10th.
Huh.
It's all about to go down. It's all going down. No price. Now, he's posting about some 24K gold, rose gold thing or something that's ridiculously priced. So don't believe that. But if they're going to do that pre-order, that means the regular PlayStation 4 is going on pre-order as well. But obviously, we still don't know the price yet. But September 10th, it looks like.
It's gonna go crazy, man. This week, man.
Yeah. So this seems to be the week. This seems to be the week. I would fully imagine we get the full Xbox reveal this week, and they start pre-orders as well. Just makes sense.
What you think of the design for the Series S before we move on?
It's fine. It just seems like a refined version of the One S, and obviously, you know, with the upgraded hardware that's in there, a little more. Venting for the cooling, so that's why you're seeing that big, you know, that circle vent on the side of it. But yeah, it's fine. I think it looks fine. No issues.
Yeah, it looks like it says that nearly 60% smaller than the Xbox Series X, and this is the smallest Xbox console ever made.
Yeah. Now I can say this because I'm thinking ahead. Again, I want to be crystal clear. I plan on owning all the consoles at some point, but since we're specifically talking about Xbox here, I see a scenario where I get the One X. Excuse me, I said the One X, the Series X. Yes. I know it's so many. The Series X, that'll go out in the family room on the big TV, right? Uh-huh. My son, he currently plays on a One X in the quote unquote game room. I see that getting retired. And I put a Series S in there. So now we're taking advantage on both TVs with the next gen hardware, the faster load times and all that. He doesn't really care about 4K. He just cares about playing Fortnite more than anything, right? But now, excuse me. But now, potentially, if let's say Fortnite gets a quote unquote next gen upgrade and you can play at 60 frames per second in Fortnite, now he can do that. On a Series S on his TV. You see what I'm saying? So it's like, I do see a scenario starting to get rid of the Xbox Ones, because I have two Xbox One Xs now. I definitely see a reason now to say, all right, I'm going to get rid of both of those and I'll upgrade to the next gen ones, but I don't need a Series X for both. I'll get a Series X for the big TV. He can get a Series S on his because he's a kid anyways and he don't pay no bills, so he don't get the bigger one anyways. But I can see that scenario happening now.
And here's another thing we haven't even talked about. I could easily see GameSpot or other retailers where they could say, hey, let's do a trade-in. Trade in your Xbox One X and you get the Series S or the X for cheaper. That's also
possible. Oh, 100%. 100%. You're going to see that. You're definitely going to see that. I would imagine, obviously, I always screw it up. GameStop is going
to. GameStop. Yes. Stop. I said spot.
Yeah, I know. I screwed that up. But GameStop, I'm sure they're going to have some trade-in deals on the old consoles. I could even imagine Best Buy or Amazon doing some stuff as well. But yeah, man, I think we're going to start to see all this stuff roll out. And, you know, hey, look, it's crazy that we're in September and we're just now getting prices. But hey, we still got a couple months. So people still have a little time to be able to make a decision on what they want to do. So,
yeah. Now, stuff. I don't want to turn this into the console war or anything like that, but I want to think like, hold on a second. Sorry. So I've been thinking, what either though, look, no matter what happens with Sony, once Sony announces the price, it's going to sell like crazy. That's 100%. That's going to happen. But do you think Sony was very surprised about that $299 price point?
No, because it just feels like this has been the worst kept secret ever. So I would think at this point that S coming in at $299 isn't a shock at all.
Now, what Sony should do to make this right for their price not have it too high, not to have it too low, but I think good for the company, because if they make it too cheap, it's going to be selling by what? They're going to lose a lot of money per console, right? At a loss. So what you think will be the right price for these, the digital version and the hard drive, the disk drive version?
I will just go
PlayStation 5.
I will just, because we're playing the Jeff interview, right?
Yeah, we're going to
play that. Yeah. So people will hear exactly what I said when we had Jeff on. I still stick with that. I think $450 makes sense for that all digital. And then you do, you know, $500 to $550 for the disc-based version. I will still contend if it was $399 for that all digital, they'd have said it already. Because that is the sweet spot price for a PlayStation. I mean, maybe they shock us. Maybe they shock the world and it is $399. I'll tell you this. If it is, yeah, it's great what Xbox is doing, but that won't sway anyone's decision that was already leaning PlayStation 5 if it's $399. The only way people might second guess getting a PlayStation 5 is they overprice it. And to overprice it, in my opinion, you got to get up in that $600 territory, which they won't do. Clearly, they won't do. I don't see them. Like, it's interesting. I will say this. If the rumors are true that the Series X is $500, it's going to be hard to justify buying that disc version of a PlayStation 5 if it's more than $500. You know what I'm saying? I would hope at a minimum, the disc list for Jesus, they're all digital versions. Too many acronyms. The all digital version of the PlayStation 5 at its highest is $500. But I think it'll be less. I do. I think they will at least try to slightly undercut whatever the Series X will be, just for the fact that that gives people more incentive to stick with PlayStation. But we'll see. We'll see. Clearly, we're about to find out real soon.
Now, what are the chances of, because we noticed that Xbox hasn't confirmed the price for the Series X. Is it possible that whatever Sony announces for the PlayStation 5, could it possible that we're going to see Xbox matching the price?
I don't think they need to, in the sense that this is why the Series S exists in the first place. That's your low cost option. They've shown you from the spec. Again, it goes back to what we've been saying all the time. If you care that much about 4K and the premium price, a Series X at $500 is worth the cost. So you price it at that. And then you say, if you don't want to spend that, that's why we have a Series S, and that's undercutting whatever the PlayStation 5 is going to be anyways. Mm-hmm. So no, I think Microsoft at this point just confidently comes out and says $499 and $299. And then PlayStation will fall somewhere in the middle of that. And we'll just go from there. And then, as it should, it'll just come down to the games on where you want to play. Yep. If you can't have both.
Yep.
That's what I think.
Yeah. Look, either way, whatever, if you're thinking about buying Xbox or PlayStation or even Nintendo, look, today or even this week is one of the best time for us as a gamer, because now we have a lot of options. We're heading now towards the next gen era now for the next consoles for us, right? And this is fun. This is a lot of fun. We've been having a great time all this year, even during the worst. During the whole pandemic time here worldwide, and but we've still been having a great time just talking about everything, about games, and talking about all the announcements all summer long, and now with this, like, I don't know, Paris, like I'm in a good mood because of this, man, you know, and I can't wait for the future, man. I think it's gonna be awesome, man, and I can't wait to start testing these devices out once it's officially out, you know. It's gonna be a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. And that's the thing. We're at a point now where, hey, you can just be a gamer. Let's just have fun. Get whatever the hell you want and enjoy it. And I feel like we're not going to be getting ripped off. That's the biggest thing about this. No matter which one you choose, I don't feel like it's a ripoff. I feel like it's being priced accordingly and it's being priced fair from the Xbox side. And I fully expect the same from the PlayStation side. So, I, again, as gamers, we're the ones that win, and then we can all roll into next gen and enjoy all the features on these next gen consoles.
Yeah, and Cyberpunk 2077 is coming out. How many days, Paris, left? How many days?
As we're recording this, it's 73 days.
Oh, man. That's big.
No, that I take big. That back. It's 72 days.
72.
Yes.
Okay. All right. All right, so we're going to play this interview with Jeff. Had fun. The listeners, please, have fun with this. We were talking, and at least you know what happened hours before this leak came out. We were having this conversation, right? But we did talk about PlayStation there, and we talked about Nintendo also. It was a great conversation overall. And let us know what you think. So enjoy. That's it, Paris. We're good.
All right.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so we're live here at Gamer Tag Radio, episode 1068, and I have here Paris. What's going on, Paris?
Hey, what is going on, man? How you doing?
Everything's good, man. We have a special guest here.
Yes, we do.
We have from VentureBeat, we have Jeff Grubb, man. Jeff, how you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm glad to be here.
I'm surprised there haven't been no posts of new calendars, because you're always posting, you know, for the past couple months now. You know, for the whole summer.
I'm taking a break now. I'll probably bring it back, but I wanted to like let it go for the now that like the opening night live thing happened for Gamescom. I'm like, that could be the end of the summer thing, and then if we need to bring it back, we'll bring it back. But yeah, it's been a few weeks now since I posted one.
How's it looking for September? How's it looking?
I think people are expecting events still. People are like they'll message me on Twitter, or they'll DM me and they'll say, hey man, when's the Sony thing happening? And I'll be like, why do you think there's a Sony thing happening? Like, this I know that people are expecting this teardown, but there's people are expecting events still. I'm not sure if we're gonna get many more quote-unquote events. I think we're gonna get YouTube videos and blog posts and stuff like that, things that can be posted quickly at a moment's notice as these companies decide how they're gonna actually roll this thing out. So September's got that next Ubisoft thing. There's a few other things. There should be some fun stuff at that Ubisoft thing, but other than that, I would just be like, be on your toes is my thing. There might be another Nintendo thing as well, and I finally do expect Xbox Series S to get announced this month. It's been pushed off again and again, but I do expect that to happen this month now.
So yeah. Let's cut straight to the chase on this. And first and foremost, thank you for coming on. I really appreciate all the work that you do and just everything I see online coming from you, breaking a lot of this stuff. But when we talk about PlayStation and we talk about Xbox, like you just mentioned, the Series S, you know, we're still waiting on that to be officially be revealed. So what's your opinion with this whole price thing? Is it strictly a game of chicken where they want to see who's going to announce the price first? Is it a combination of COVID and there's production issues, things like that? What from what you understand, what do you think's holding this back? I mean, we're literally recording this on Labor Day in September, so we're way behind traditional timelines.
Yeah, so my take is like, you cannot discount COVID. You can't, but I think that there was always a strong possibility that the rollout would have looked something like this almost no matter what. And the big reason for that is just it is the one thing they can control. I say this on my podcast all the time. They can't control how much their suppliers are going to charge them. They can't control AMD's, you know, fabrication laboratories. They can't control shipping prices and the price of gas. These are all things that are going to affect how much it's going to cost them to put these things on shelves and to ship these things to consumers. So if you're in a battle with one other company and you're looking around for things you can control, the list is very, very short. And it really is just one thing. It's that price, because these things got locked into place years ago in terms of like what they're actually going to have on the inside and how much they are going to end up costing is all determined by that stuff. So if you need to have some wiggle room in order to compete with someone else, you're going to hold on to every last thing. And that means price. And we've seen this with you know, funny enough, with AMD and NVIDIA got into kind of a little scrap, I think last year, when it came down to who was going to price their, you know, 1080p, 1440p cards at, you know, a more competitive price. And they waited the last minute. They waited. Then AMD came out with a price. NVIDIA came out with a price that was pretty much matching them. And then AMD came right back and undercut them. So like they waited as long as they could. And then finally they went with a little bit of a gambit and it worked out and AMD did undercut them. And everyone's like, oh, it's the, you know, they called it the gotcha baited was the thing that was a big headline back then. And I think both these companies realize looking around that they have to sort of be wary, at least that the other one's planning something like that. They are trying their best to make sure that doesn't happen to them. So, I mean, do I expect us to go into October still not knowing the price? At this point, maybe. I don't know. It's really weird, but maybe.
Met wow. October? That's pushing it a little bit too close, though.
I know, but like, I mean, like so, you know, people have started pointing this out. iPhone gets announced 10 days later. It's you know, it's shipping or whatever. And that's, we could see something similar here. I don't know if it'll cut that close. Apple is its own beast. You know, but Nintendo announced the Switch price and then 50 days later shipped it. So, and we're getting pretty close to that. I think that like the 50 day window is going to start here any week now for these two consoles. So I guess I do still in my gut expect it to happen here in September. But man, I wouldn't bet on it anymore. It's just too up. It's too up in the air. They could really do anything. So we'll see.
Well, yeah, so let me ask you, let me ask you this, because regardless of when they get announced, I'm at the point where I'm just expecting sticker shock with both of them. I contend that if PlayStation could have that all digital PS5 at $399, they would have said it already, because they know that price point sells no matter what. So, yes. And I also think on the flip side, when I look at the Series X, yes, the technology wise, it is going to be superior to what the PlayStation 5 is, but there's no way they could charge $600 for it. But then I'm starting to second guess even that.
Right.
Thinking,
I mean, don't you think if it was $500, the same logic, right? At this point, if these consoles were definitely 100% without a doubt, like they know the price and it's going to be $500, they would have told us by now. I feel like,
yeah,
it's getting like, if it's not $500, like I think most people have accepted now that it could be $500 for both these systems. And if most people have accepted it, why not start getting those pre-orders on the book while people are, you know, have already, you know, become willing to accept that price? Yes, I'm expecting sticker shock too, because we don't know still. The only reason we wouldn't know is if they really both want $600. And I think if you look at it, they both absolutely want to sell these consoles for $600. Does that mean they'll be $600? I don't know. I don't necessarily think so. I think that they both want to compete, and whoever comes out first and announces $500, the other one will match. But if the first one comes out and announces $600, the other one's seriously going to consider going at $600 as well. Because these systems are expensive to make for both companies. They easily, you know, $500, I don't think either one would be making money. I think they'd be losing money at that price. So yeah, I feel, yes, I really do feel that if it was $500 for sure, we definitely would have known by now.
What about a system like, you know, the Series S that hasn't been officially announced yet? Do you think that's going to be expensive too?
It's got to be significantly less expensive. I think the price that gets thrown around for that a lot is $300. And I think that would be a great price. If they can hit $300 with that, that's huge. I'm not necessarily confident that they will. I think that could come out at $400 and be like, okay, that's not quite as exciting, but still it's at that right price. But if Xbox Series X is coming out and it's $600 and this other thing is $400, that's a $200 difference. That's going to be, you can't just price the Series S in a vacuum. You have to like be mindful of what it makes the Series X look like. So,
right.
You could say, oh, the Series X or the Series S is a really good deal at $300. And then there's this other thing that's super powerful, but it's twice as expensive. Well, they're trying to sell that box too. So I hope it's $300, but I don't think it'll be over anything over $400 though. That would be wild if they do that. Yeah. It's just why are you even doing this thing?
Well, see, that's the whole fascinating thing about all of this to me, because PlayStation is pretty much just sticking to their traditional model for selling a games console, exclusive games, all that. So I don't think there's going to be too many surprises with them. But when I look at Microsoft, they're taking this different approach now. Obviously, you know, the Series S, worst kept secret ever. And like you're saying, how do you price it? And more importantly, how do you message what the Series S is? Because I think that's very important to go along with the X. Why would I not want to, quote unquote, get the most powerful console and settle for this one? Why does this one make more sense to me? Are you going to specifically talk to the, quote unquote, 1080p gamer or the 1440p gamer and make them understand that, look, it can do everything that the Series X can do, or almost everything, but it's at this lower resolution and it's at this cost conscious price? And then you throw into the, and I'm curious what your thoughts is on this. It almost comes off as Microsoft cares more about you being a Game Pass subscriber more so than you actually buying any of their hardware. I was just curious your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes without saying now at this point, it is a given that Microsoft's strategy and business model here is the services aspect, and any way that they can get you to be a service subscriber is a win for them. So, but it's more nuanced than that. So people take that to mean like, oh, they don't care about selling the console. And that's not exactly right. If you go, well, I'm not going to buy an Xbox Series X because I already have a really good PC. And isn't that a loss for Microsoft? And like Phil Spencer, if you tell him that, he'll be like, no, I don't care. That's great. If the reason you're not buying an Xbox is because you have a PC and you're just going to get Xbox Game Pass there, you basically already have an Xbox. That's what you're saying there. You already have something to play Xbox games, and it's your PC, and that's what we want. But there are a lot of people who don't play PC games, and you still have to win them over, and the console is the best way to do that. And they absolutely care about selling these systems. But if you skip out on the system and you find some other way, like if you get a Samsung TV down the line and the Samsung TV has Xbox Game Pass built in with streaming and you can play your games there, they're not going to try to sell you a box after that. If you're playing games there regularly, if you're maintaining your subscription and you're engaged, they'll be totally happy as long as that is a good experience for you. But these systems still are going to have to compete. They're still going to have to look good. They're still going to have to be competitive with Sony. Microsoft is not necessarily competing with Sony and Nintendo. They are trying something different, something on their own. But the Xbox Series X and the Xbox Series S is absolutely competing with the PlayStation 5 and the Switch and the PlayStation 5 all, like, digital edition. Those things are still happening. So they still have to be mindful of that stuff.
Yeah, so I know in a couple of weeks we're going to hear from Xbox about the Tokyo Game Show. And this is more about, not about next gen, but maybe other announcements, maybe to promote Xbox Game Pass. But I feel like if the company is planning to announce the price and the release date, maybe sometime this month, do you think within 2 weeks or so we might hear like an official announcement from them? But more like you were saying earlier, just a YouTube video of maybe Phil Spencer, because there was like a picture, I think a week ago, like somebody was filming from the production team, filming Phil Spencer sitting down, which I think that was the video of the official announcement of the price and date of the console. What do you think about that?
I buy that. I think that's likely. And I think within the next 2 weeks it sounds plausible. It also could be something completely different. I know they have some other announcements that they've been meaning to make. At this point, I don't know why they wouldn't wrap them all up into one thing. Like, you say, oh, there's some expansion stuff happening to Game Pass. We're making that an even better deal. But also, you care about that as you are buying these new systems. Here's the Xbox Series X. Let's recap what this is. Here's how much it costs when it's available. Oh, that's a big number. Yeah, that's a lot of money. So here's another option. If you are someone who still is gaming on the same TV you've had for the last 5 or 6 years, and it's just fine and you don't plan to upgrade anytime soon, and money is a huge factor in your decision, well, you don't have to miss out. Here's the Xbox Series S. It's this much money. It's significantly less money. It's going to get you pretty much the same experiences as you would get with an Xbox Series X because you don't have that resolution. And it's coming out, at this date as well and this price. And just lay out the entire strategy all in one go, all in one video. I totally, in my head, that's how I see it going. could that still get pushed? It's been pushed repeatedly now. We were expecting this back in June, right? At least the Xbox Series S. And then we were expecting it in August. And, you know, they've got reasons to keep pushing it. They don't want to go first. They want Sony to announce the price first. And they've waited this long. And it's like, it seems kind of silly now to wait this long, wait for Sony to go first, and then be like, oh, I guess we have to go first now. So
Exactly. Yeah.
So I still think it's very likely that Microsoft, Phil Spencer, Xbox might say, no, you know what? Let's just wait. It's not like we have Halo coming out now. Why don't we just wait? Why don't we just wait and see, like, as long as we possibly can? And that's why I think October is still possible. But, you know, we'll see.
October. Oof. I mean, why so long, though? Because I feel like Xbox most likely is probably going to announce the price and release date first than Sony. I just don't see it. Sony,
I agree.
Sony is in a very comfortable position right now. They're in first place when it comes to, like, consoles and everything, right? But they don't need to do it anytime soon, Sony.
So let's unpack that. Let's see, like, what motivation Sony would have. So Microsoft is very clear that they are not, like, abandoning the install base they already have. They are trying to continue to bring everyone forward. So it's not like the Xbox One is suddenly going to be dropped off in any way, in any meaningful way. So they are treating this more as a continuation, more as like the upgraded phone model. And there's criticisms with that, but there's also benefits for Microsoft in that it's not necessarily a total reset when you go into a new generation. Sony is very much treating this like a reset generation. So they want to get off to a really fast start. They want to get off to make sure that the PlayStation 5 is ready to go. People know how to buy it, can get it as soon as they want, and try to meet that demand so that there are a ton of PlayStation 5s in the world. So they can start rolling out those really big blockbusters that we all know they're working on so that they can start recouping some of that investment that they've been making for years. So there is a possibility that Sony might get close enough that they're like, well, we can't wait for these assholes anymore. We have to just go. We just have to do something because we have to start the next generation because we're really relying on that. We have nothing more coming for the PlayStation 4. We're done with that. We have fiscal concerns that are very important to Sony as a corporation as a whole because PlayStation's our most profitable brand and kind of by far. And it's the thing keeping everything going other than financial services. So I could see Sony being like, listen, yeah, sure, we were trying to pull our old thing where we went first or where we went last and undercut everybody. But we are pretty comfortable and we are ahead and we don't really need to actually worry about Microsoft. Yes. We can just do our own thing. And I could see them arguing themselves, kind of convincing themselves into going first because they start feeling pressure from other sides of like, we're just running out of time. All of that said, I still fundamentally agree with you that I think Microsoft ends up going first. They have this other hardware they haven't even talked about yet. They have to start talking about it, I feel like, sooner rather than later. But I don't know. I mean, we've seen Phil Spencer play this game of chicken so far pretty successfully, so maybe he'll just keep at it.
Yeah, at this point, I would just hope, be it Microsoft or PlayStation, one of them just announce what you're going to announce and just do it with confidence that we have these consoles, we have these services at this price, and we feel this is fair to our consumers. Now, if the other one comes and massively undercuts them, all right, have a conversation at that point. I guess, and I'll just throw out my pricing scenario because at this point, why the hell not? Because we're in September. But to me, I just think the Series X is $499. That to me seems fair for the technology that you're going to get. I think the Series S, like a lot of people have been speculating, is probably $299, maybe $249 if they get super aggressive with it. And I think that PlayStation All Digital is probably $450. And the one with the disc is anywhere between $5 to $550. And you just roll with it and just, we know the games and go from there. I mean, it just seems that to me makes sense. I don't think anyone gets too upset with that pricing. I think anything that approaches $600, yes, the hardcore people will run out and buy it day one. But I think once you get past that initial wave, that's where you kind of look at 2006 with the PlayStation 3 being at $600 and it's not going to sell as well as it potentially could, not to mention COVID, economies in shambles, et cetera, et cetera. So
yeah,
that's my two cents.
I think, I mean, I agree with most of that. I think that, I don't think 600 is necessarily as outlandish as it once was. I think it's much more in the realm of possibility than ever. I think when it comes down to it, I still think it is too much in terms of like whether or not it'll be a long-term wise choice. Clearly, I think there's plenty of people who are going to pay that price if it were to come out. And I think it would actually do pretty well into 2021 and beyond, because especially at, you know, in these early COVID months where we have so many fewer options for our entertainment budget, people that do have money and they want to spend money on stuff, they're spending $30 on Mulan, and they remember a world where going out to the movies was $100 if you're taking your family or whatever. And so $100 difference between a PlayStation 5 or treating that as the barrier is like, well, I was going to spend $500, but I'm not going to spend $600. Most people are going to be like, man, I got to have this thing actually. So I'm just going to suck it up and I'll figure out how to pay for it. I think that's actually a much more common mindset than people are willing to admit. We see this with the way that peripherals have been selling over the pandemic. People want headsets, they want controllers. As these things sell out, they're like, well, the only thing that is here is the Xbox Elite controller. Well, I guess I'll get that because I gotta have a new controller to play Fortnite with my friends. Like, there's only a $200 headset. That $50 headset I came in to buy isn't here, so I'm just gonna get the $200 headset. It's the only thing here. This is happening pretty frequently. This is why a big reason why the industry in the United States has jumped so much over these past couple of months. And it's just because they have money actually sitting there. I know many people have been hurt pretty financially by the pandemic, myself included, for sure. I've taken a pay cut, but people that do have money, it's just sitting there. And when they would used to go spend that on going on trips and, you know, going on the Caribbean cruise lines or whatever, or, you know, going out to concerts, they're not spending that money now, and it's just sitting there. And a difference between 500 and 600 for them is nothing. They are absolutely going to be ready to pay for that. And compared to the PlayStation 3, it's just a different world. It is that was coming off the PlayStation 2. And back then, gaming was much more broad in terms of like you could bring in a family pretty early on, and they'd want to get in on it. But they didn't want to pay a huge upfront cost. And most of those people have gone to like mobile gaming or maybe even the Switch, and they were never really considering these systems in the first place. But the people that like went from PlayStation 3 to PlayStation 4, the PlayStation 3 died right away and people just jumped on the PlayStation 4 immediately in huge numbers, even when it didn't have a ton of games, because there's this hardcore audience that is more hardcore than ever. It's pretty sizable and it could support a $600 system pretty easily, I think. So I think this is the conversation that both Microsoft and Sony are having with themselves, trying to say, hey, man, I think we could get away with it. And I think there's people inside there saying it would be bad if we tried that. But that's the only reason why we don't know the price now, is because I think they both want to do 600.
I think along the lines of what you're saying there at the end, I think PlayStation more realistically could get away with it than Microsoft at this point. And it really boils down to a games thing where PlayStation has shown you since 2013. I mean, the list of IPs just go on and on that I'm sure they've built this loyalty from the PlayStation 4 generation that's going to carry over into PlayStation 5, where I almost feel like Microsoft kind of quote unquote needs to take one for the team. Game Pass is great. I do think it's the future of the way we'll consume this stuff, but not having Halo at launch definitely hurts them. And I'm not seeing what's replacing it. And I'll side note, you absolutely crushed my dreams around the time of the game showcase because you said no Perfect Dark was coming. And
I
was
like, I know, right?
But the fact that there's still a couple years out before we're going to start to see the Fables of the world, the Avowed, Everwild, etc., to where they can actually show the fruits of their labor of acquiring all these studios. I almost think, if PlayStation 5 was $600, they could make the argument. Whereas I don't think Series X could do that, because people are going to go, why am I spending $600 and there's nothing here for me to play? And look, we know there's a hardcore audience, but we're saying the overall, average consumer that would go out and pick this thing up compared to the PlayStation.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that is actually the right answer. I still think Microsoft thinks maybe once these systems are out and people see a difference in between the way the Xbox Series X performs and the way the PlayStation 5 performs, and it's like, I think this is actually a scenario that Sony's a little bit afraid of too. They're like, we could probably get away with 600 even if the Xbox Series X is 500. But if, like, in that first 2 months, if the stories are, and you're paying more for the system and Assassin's Creed runs, you know, slightly slower, you know, a difference that most people wouldn't actually notice looking at the screen or whatever. But you know, all things considered, it seems like the Xbox Series X should run games faster. And if people start hearing that sort of thing, I think that Microsoft's gonna be like, well, you know, why wouldn't people want to pay the same price for a better performance system? Especially when you consider third party games tend to actually sell better than all these other games. So, I think they still think they might be able to get away with it. In the end, though, I do expect Xbox Series X to be at 500, and then I expect Sony to make a decision based on that. That's probably how it's going to play out.
Hey, Jeff, but let me ask you this about Perfect Dark, because I was also, you also crushed my dreams too. I was like, oh man, come on, why not? So my question to you is, when will be the right time for Microsoft to finally announce Perfect Dark? If there's no events happening anytime soon.
Right. So let's clarify one thing first. So that game is probably not exactly Perfect Dark.
I forgot to say that.
So I think the analogy I used is like Apex Legends isn't a Titanfall game. And this game's probably not a Perfect Dark game in the same way. Maybe there's some relation there. Maybe it's just it uses some content. But I know that they're at least playing around with similar concepts, and maybe it'll have a more stronger link when it comes out. But the initiative game basically is what we're talking about. And it's like, you know, when is the right time for that? It's probably E3 next year, maybe a little bit later. Actually, I don't necessarily expect it to be anytime soon, because now Microsoft has a long list of games that it's announced that got people hyped up for that it has to deliver. And if you kind of keep adding stuff to that pile without first launching a few of them, people get more and more skeptical, and there's less and less reason to be hyped up for what should be very hyped moments. And that game's still got to be relatively early. It's a studio created in 2018, still doing massive hiring. We're 2 years on from that, a little bit more than 2 years now. That's not a lot of time for one of these kinds of games. That game's probably still on track for maybe 2022. And at that point, it's like, well, how early do you have to really show something from that game? At most a year. So maybe sometime in 2021, we finally get a look at it. But again, I think they got to start shipping some stuff first before they can really start talking about what's to come next after that. Mm-hmm. That's a game that, like, and they really do need to hang their hats on, though. This is the kind of game that I think people are waiting to see if Xbox can pull off. I wouldn't be surprised if they try to find ways to fast track it, but you can only go so fast with a game like that.
Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't say anything about the Game Awards, that maybe they'll show a teaser or something, you know, but I guess not.
Yeah. That is possible. I don't, there's no exact plans for that. I'm sure that's on the table, mm-hmm. to like just tease it there to be like, give people more things to talk about other than the fact that there is no Halo to play. But that's what it would be at most, right? It's just another distraction. And that's, how long does that last? That lasts a night, really. We talk about it for a night. Everyone talks about it on their podcast that week. Oh, they teased it. And then a week later, we're going right back to like, hey, they don't have any games that they've released. So what's the deal? So you only get that small bump. And how is it really worth sort of blowing it there when it could have a bigger impact once people are feeling better about the platform as a whole? So we'll see.
Now, let me ask you this about when we finally got to see the Series X at the Game Awards. I think that was the most talked about thing in it for months, even Hellblade. So why not do it the same exact thing? Was it because of the new console that was different, the conversation?
I think so. I mean, because then it was, everyone was kind of feeling really good about the way Xbox was approaching things at that point, right? So you show off the hardware, and this is coming off of like Game Pass really getting a lot of steam. This is like the right after the E3 where Microsoft put a lot of emphasis on like, we are focusing on Game Pass. We're turning it into a really good deal. We want to be funneling people into Game Pass, and we're going to offer it for $1. Go ahead and transform your 3 years of Xbox Live Gold into Game Pass. And then Phil Spencer's being really aggressive about pushing people into doing cross save and cross platform stuff and just, you know, being good guy Phil or whatever. So then you go and talk about, all right, now here's our next gen system and here we're going to show it off to you. Here's like a trailer and stuff to get excited. That's like when you're in that sort of like a high state, it's really easy to like actually pull that off and be like, get people excited for something coming in the future 4 months at a time. When you are at a much lower echelon of excitement because of delays and difficulties, and all the other games you've announced are clearly still months, if not years away, nothing really in this launch window, to then announce another game in that window that is still years away, people are going to be a little bit less willing to accept that, I think.
Go ahead, Dan.
So why... I'm changing the conversation with different console now, but why do you think Nintendo is going to have something this month? Because it seems like Mario 35th anniversary, the Mario 3D game, 3D All-Stars, I think that's like so far the biggest game for Nintendo this holiday. I don't see anything else. Why do you think they have something else coming up?
Just based on what I've heard, there are games that they, I know, are supposed to be announced in a direct-like event, and they haven't been announced yet. And the time frame I always heard for them was later this month. So that's mostly where that comes from. But also, like, that might, at most, that might just be a partner showcase, right? Or maybe a mini direct. I guess there's a possibility it could be slightly broader. Nintendo doesn't have anything for November is another thing. Like, yeah, they've announced Super Mario 3D All-Stars for this month. It comes out in 2 weeks, not even now. Mm-hmm. There is Pikmin 3, I think, for October, and then nothing for the rest of the year. So I think they've got a gap to fill, and I think they probably have something to put in there. Maybe it won't be anything too huge. I don't know what it could be, really. But I still expect them to try to put something in November or December at the very least. So, I would expect at least one more sort of direct style thing before the end of the year. And then maybe they announce their specific first party game in another tweet like they did with Pikmin and Paper Mario.
Oh, OK. I can see that then. Were you going to say something, Paris?
Yeah. To spin this back into Xbox for just a second. So. When you look at PlayStation, like, we've now seen an extended demo with Ratchet and Clank. So when I look at that, I go, okay, here's something that doesn't look like it could happen on the PlayStation 4. To me, that's my entry point into wanting to buy a PlayStation 5 when Ratchet and Clank comes out. And it's, I guess, in the launch window, right? But when I go back to Xbox, and again, I'm just curious your thoughts on this. They have a problem, in my opinion, that we've still not seen a game that shows mm-hmm. off the quote unquote power of the Series X. I'm just curious, do you think they even have enough time at this point leading up to November to truly show off what the system can do beyond saying, all right, here's an up-res Gears 5 and why is Flight Simulator not at launch as well? You know, things like that. I mean, I'm just curious what you think.
I think there's plenty of time. I think they'll actually use that time and have something to show off? I'm more skeptical of that, but there's a lot of time. And we've seen these things can change sort of on a dime. The conversation could just break in a moment. This is a point I've made previously, but like, if these things do come out, we were talking about if like the prices are different, the PlayStation 5 is more expensive and games are running slightly slower, that'll be kind of actually the only thing anyone's talking about for the first couple of weeks. Even if like Ratchet and Clank and Spider-Man are come out and they're pretty good, there's a lot of people who buy these systems to play third party games. There's a lot of people who buy them for Assassin's Creed and Madden and whatever else. And if the experience is noticeably better on Xbox, that'll get a lot of headlines. I think it probably won't be as bad as it was for like the Xbox in 2013, because the difference between running like not quite at like 4K 60 and not running quite 1080p and 30 frames per second, that's a big difference. But I still think people be like, hey, I'm paying more for the system, or I'm paying the same. And this is a PlayStation. I'm accustomed to the PlayStation at least matching or if not doing better. But between now and then, between now and the launch. If Microsoft has something and could show it and it's impressive, people will talk about that. People will absolutely grab onto that. I don't think the conversation is lost to them in the way it was lost to them in 2013. They are still completely in this if they have something to show. It just seems like they probably don't. And it seems like we're going to launch and they are going to try to rely on third-party games to sort of be like the reason and the maybe improved experience of playing third-party games to sell this system. And I think all of us are probably skeptical of that because we know how important these console exclusives actually are.
Do you think that Microsoft might have a digital event like XO 20 this year, similar to the one that it had last year that was in a totally different country, and maybe have it in part of the celebration of the launch of the new console? Do you think that's possible too? And from there, they probably will show stuff for next year, for 2021.
Yeah, so I know XO was in the cards for this year. I know it was something that they like mentioned as like a possible place to show like something maybe from the initiative, maybe to tease something like that. But I think that something like that is it requires time and build up and momentum in a way that I don't necessarily know that either company wants to commit to something like that right now, where instead they could just be like much more nimble if they are making YouTube videos and Twitter posts and blog posts. So I would be surprised if Microsoft tried to commit to another thing like that. I think they're just going to try to launch this thing through the power of social media and through YouTube videos and live streams. And at most that is what they'll do.
Okay. All right. Anything else, Paris?
No, I mean, Jeff, thank you for coming on. Like I said, I've always been an admirer of your work, and obviously you've had some good scoops over this whole lockdown during COVID. Yes. And
it's been fun.
Because like Danny and I say, like, there's literally no rules. There's no rules to how these consoles are coming out, so nothing shocks me at this point. But I appreciate your insight. Yeah.
Oh, no, thank you both for having me on. I had a lot of fun. I love talking about this stuff. It's fun to talk about it with people who know what they're talking about. So this is a really great time. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Jeff, so if anybody wants to see more calendar updates from you, where's the best place to follow you?
Yeah, get me on Twitter. I'm on Twitter at Jeff Grubb. If you want to follow some of my other stuff, youtube.com/Jeffrey Grubb. I got a couple of podcasts on there. And then if you want to just get my writing, it's gamesbeat.com. I try to retweet most of the stuff that I'm posting and some of the other stuff that the guys are posting at GamesBeat. But if you want to just go right to the source, it's just gamesbeat.com.
All right. Awesome, man. Thanks a lot, Jeff, for joining us, man. Absolutely. It was a lot of fun,
thank
man.
You. Yep. Thank all you. Right,
for sure.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.